Thanks for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and to make Him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. I sincerely hope you enjoy this week's content. What is up, Streams? Man, thank you guys for joining us online, whether you're watching this on a Sunday morning or later on in the week. I'm happy to be here with you guys. My name is Pastor Mitch, and we're going to be finishing up the series on Paul. And I just want to give you guys a quick recap to tell you guys what we have been talking about the last few weeks. So week one, we talked about Paul's unlikely calling and how God took a sinner, a person who was actually persecuting Christians, like the worst of the worst, chiefest of sinners, and he took them and he used them as an instrument to reach the Gentiles. It was an amazing message. You guys should go back and watch it. Week two, we talked about Paul's crisis, the things that happened in his life. And it seemed like it was one crisis after another crisis after another crisis. But yet somehow, as we're going to find out today, God confirmed his calling through everything. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, is this confirmation, this undeniable confirmation that Paul received by God. Today's the title of this message is, I've entitled it, Grace for the Grind. And I don't know about you guys, but looking back on 2020, I had a lot of expectations. I had a lot of things I wanted to do, a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish, and maybe you guys did too. I mean, I wanted to go on a mission trip to Ecuador. I was pumped about youth camp. I was excited about what God was doing, but we all had a reality check. We all had this check that says, actually, those things that you expected, they're not going to happen. You see, like, I don't know how long ago, 6 months ago, we were hit with COVID-19. And it seems like everything that we were expecting was just changed in a moment. We've had things like the racial injustice in our country that have caused us to reevaluate ourselves, to reevaluate our systems, and to really, really just say, like, God, what is reality and how can we change it? And really, there's this tension that I feel that we all go through, and that is the tension of what we expect and the reality. Whether that's a newly married couple, when your expectations of what marriage is going to look like versus the reality. Whether it's for your work, you're starting a new job, and you expect this job to be the most amazing thing ever. And when you get there, you realize that reality is different. And I think that there is this underlying presupposition that we have in the church, we have as Christians, is that if we are in the will of God, we expect good things to happen to us. We expect, like, amazing things to happen. But I feel like that is false. You see, Paul, when he was called to be by God, in actually Acts chapter 9, that's where I want to look today. Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16 says this. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument, talking about Paul. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him, this is crazy. I will show him how much he will suffer for my name. Man, can you imagine, like, okay, God says, Paul, look, you're blind at this moment. You're scared. There's total darkness. And you've experienced Jesus. Paul's experienced Jesus on the road to Damascus. And now God appears to a Christian named Ananias, the very person that Paul had saw at the time had gone to persecute. And the very person that he'd gone to condemn. And God appears to him and says, hey, go tell Paul or Saul that I have a calling for him. But then he says, show him how much he has to suffer for my name's sake. See, God didn't sugarcoat anything in the calling of Saul. He told him exactly what he was supposed to do. The expectation was the reality, and Paul knew that. And I think sometimes when I go back to that place where I felt like God was like, I'm going to use you, even though, Mitch, you're messed up, even though that you've done things that you shouldn't have done, even though you've sinned, I'm still going to use you. And I just want to tell you guys who are listening right now that you are called.
Whether you're in a vocational full-time ministry, it doesn't matter. Every single person that is listening to this, every single person who is called by Jesus Christ is also called to minister and to share the message and the good news of Jesus, wherever that looks like, wherever that is. And really, I just want to know, like, how can it be that bad things can happen to us, even in the midst of God's will, even in the midst of sharing the good news, even in the midst of a calling? Paul knew that God tells Paul that he has to suffer for his name. So why is this? Because we are a part of a kingdom that is not a part of a physical kingdom. We are a part of the kingdom of God. And sometimes things just don't always match up. Sometimes things don't always work out. Sometimes we can't see what is actually happening in the unseen. And that's the hope that Paul had. See, Paul sought God in humility. Like, that was one of the big things that I see as in Paul. And one of the things that even in the midst of, like, he was called to suffer. He was called to reach the Gentiles. He was called to reach kings, and he was called to reach the people of Israel. But yet, in the midst of all that, like, he suffered. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was like imprisoned multiple times. And how in the midst of that, and this is the question I ask myself, how in the midst of that did Paul, this guy, stay true to his calling? See, he looked for confirmations. He was humble. And actually, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 8, I want to read this to you guys. Paul says this: "But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Wow. "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in his insults, in hardships, and in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am made strong." This is crazy. It's that Paul is saying, look, actually the power and the confirmation of God in my life is not my strength. It's not my own power. It's not the might of how I preach or how I present myself, but it's in actually acknowledging that I am weak. See, Paul says he has this thorn in his side that just kept nagging at him. Maybe today you have something that just keeps nagging at you. Maybe it's a sin that you just keep going back to. Maybe it's a sickness that is just like crippling you. Maybe it's a relationship that is torn, a relationship that's dysfunctional. But I just want to say this, is that God is in the middle of it. And sometimes I think the thing that got Paul through, the thing that allowed him to continue on his path from crisis to, as we talked about last week, from crisis to crisis to crisis, was the grace that God bestowed on him when he said, "Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I'm weak. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power." And this word grace here is actually interchangeable with the word power. See, I think a lot of times when I hear the word grace, I think of forgiveness. I think of, like, God forgiving me of my sins. But actually, there's another form of grace that empowers us to do what God has called us to do. Maybe in your life right now, you just need a confirmation from God to know that you're headed in the right direction. Maybe you're asking God, say, "Oh, do I need to take this job? How am I doing with my family? Am I being a good dad? Am I being a good mom? How do I homeschool my kids? I'm not qualified to do this." And Paul, he was intellectual, he was smart, he had all these things, but yet he says, "It's my weakness that's actually my strength." And right now, I just want to say that the way that God confirmed Paul's calling was by strengthening him through weakness, was by imparting grace in the midst of trial. See, I think that sometimes for me, right, this year has been absolutely nuts. Like there's been times where I've questioned my calling. There's been times where I've questioned, am I really called to be a youth pastor? Am I really qualified? Am I really, is reaching students online is hard. I don't know if you've ever gotten a Zoom call with a bunch of high schoolers. It's pretty difficult. Sometimes you can't see the product of what you're doing. Sometimes the outcome doesn't come. The outcome isn't there of what we want. But what do we do whenever we're facing crisis? What do we do whenever we're questioning our calling? We go back to say, in our weakness, Christ makes us strong. In our weakness, this was Paul's recipe for confirmation. In our weakness, we're made strong. Wow. See, a lot of people, maybe you're one of these people. A lot of people want to be like Paul. Man, I prayed this prayer. God, make me like Paul. Like, I want to be like him. I want to reach people that are unreachable. I want to go to the nations. I want to do this, whatever. A lot of people want to be like Paul whenever he's preaching the gospel and there are people that are coming to accept him, but not a lot of people want to be like Paul and when he's being beaten, when there's pain and there's struggle. But that's where God brings in grace for the grind. That's where God brings his grace in the midst of our weakness, in the midst of our struggle, there is grace. And I just wanted, that's my word for you guys today, is that God is for you, not against you, that he loves you. And I think Paul questioned his calling a lot, but I think he was more concerned with being faithful to what God had given him than being fruitful. See, a lot of times I think we think that just because something isn't fruitful, just because we can't see it, it means that it must not be working. But I think God is a lot more concerned with us being faithful servants, of continuing to go back to him, bringing my weakness. Man, this week has been challenging for me again, because I think that I know the answers. Like, we just had more and more injustices that come up, and I think we just got to keep talking about it. I think we got to keep bringing it up. I think we got to, as the church, like, how do we respond to hurting people? So my question to you is, what does it look like to be faithful to the calling that God has put in front of you? What does it look like to be faithful and to continue for the confirmation that is to come? For the confirmation that, just as Paul, who was faithful. See, I think that a lot of times that we think that for being fruitful is what God really wants from us. And that's the marker of success, is how good our lives look on the outside. How good our circumstances and our situations look. But I would argue that it's about being faithful. It's about doing the right things over and over and over again and being faithful to what God called you to at first. And I think a lot of times is that if God, I'm glad that God didn't do this to me as he did with Paul, because he just flat out said, Paul, you're going to suffer for me. See, my expectations of what a calling was going to look like were totally different than the reality of what it looks like. But I know that I trust, and I just said, I'm just gonna be faithful. I'm gonna take one more step. I'm gonna do it again and again and again, and I'm gonna trust God with the outcome, because he is faithful. So my question is, how did Paul continue in his calling over and over and over again? I would argue that he had his eyes on the finish line, that he had his eyes on the prize, that he knew that what is to come is greater than the hardships of what is right now in reality. He knew that the expectation of what is greater than the hardship of right now. See, he knew that Jesus was going to give him grace for his grind. I think that in 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7 sums up God's confirmation to Paul really, really well. See, Timothy is imprisoned, Paul is in prison and he's writing to Timothy. And this is the end of his life, and Paul knows it. He knows it. And he says this, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. For the time of the departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." Let me just say that again. Somebody needs to hear it. Is that right now you're going through hell, but God is giving you grace right now in your situation. See, grace isn't just about forgiveness, but it's about power and strength in our weakness. She says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." In a similar note, he writes in Philippians 1:6, he says this, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ." Is that God is, he is for you, and he's working things out for the good of those who love him. And although the where you're at in the story right now might not look great, It might not look amazing because we all know that 2020 has been a heck of a year, a crazy year. But I'm convinced, just as Paul is that he who began a good work in you and I, he who has called us, is going to confirm that calling today, tomorrow, and forever. See, in our world right now, it's so easy for us to say or to ask God, where are you? Where are you? In the middle of our suffering, in the middle of our pain, in the middle of a world that seemingly is at each other's throats, where are you? And I've been asking that question. But it's when I present my weakness to God, not the weaknesses of the world and my philosophies or my ideas about how things can be solved, but when I say, God, I am a chiefest of sinners, just as Paul did. God, I have a thorn in my flesh that I cannot get rid of, and I need your strength right now. It is in that moment where he makes our weakness into strength, and he gives us power that transcends all understanding, that we don't understand exactly. I don't understand exactly how it happens, but that's why it's a mystery. And the reason why I have hope for this world and we can have hope for this world right now is because Jesus. It's because his grace. And the reason Paul continually was confirmed in his calling, even in the midst of crisis, was the simple fact that he trusted Jesus over himself. He trusted Jesus over his abilities. He trusted the mercy and the sovereignty and the goodness of Jesus. We don't have the answers, but we know the one who does. Some of you, and including myself, some of us, we have our guards up. I know I've had my guards up. Maybe you have your guard up. I envision people with shields and swords and you're ready to protect what you think or what you believe. And Paul says this, is that the way that we confirm our calling is not through strength, but it's through weakness. And maybe this imagery can help you. Maybe it's time for us to lay down our shields, to lay down our armor, to lay down our swords, and to say, God, I'm yours. You know, maybe it's time to confess some weaknesses to the Lord today, and that he will give you the confirmation you need, the grace that you need for the grind that you're going through the grind that 2020 has been. So that's my prayer for you today, is that we would lay down what we think about God, that we would lay down our self-righteousness, just as Paul did, because Paul was the chiefest of sinners, even admits it. And he says, it's my weakness that gives me power. So this week, how can you display your weakness to God so that he can strengthen you? Because he is very, very near to you. Thank you, guys. I would like to say a quick prayer for you. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for giving us what we don't deserve, for being our strength when we are weak, for confirming our callings in the middle of crisis. Lord, I pray that you would empower, that you would encourage, that you'd uplift those listening to this. If there's anyone out there that has never admitted their weakness to you, Lord, that has never said, in my weakness, you're strong. God, I pray right now that they would just repeat this with prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm weak. I need you. Come into my heart, come into my soul, and begin to strengthen me. Maybe you're out there and you're just saying, like, I have this impossible task ahead. I'm going through a crisis right now. And I just need the strength of God. I need the grace of God to go one more step. Right now, Lord, I pray that you would just give them grace, give them strength, give them peace. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. If you want to know more about our church, you can go to our website, streamschurch.org. Also, follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. We would love to connect with you. Again, if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, have a great week.